Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let us entertain you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller. Luke Moore's here.
All right.
Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
That man Pete Donaldson's here.
Hello.
We're up and running.
If I'd have known you were going to do a Robbie Williams thing, I would have had something in my mind.
Would you?
I would have probably gone rock DJ, something like that.
Yeah. You did give me a middle finger.
I did. Yeah. I did. That's a standard thing, though.
That's right. Yeah. We're up and running, ladies and gentlemen. We've got the opening ceremony and a match under our belts.
It's done. I've gone mad.
I've bought all of Robbie Williams' records.
Again.
I've gone crazy. Again.
Yeah. On vinyl. Now you got yourself a record
brave,
player.
Jim was saying before we came on, I felt the same. It was a bit like...
It was a brave performance.
Well, I wasn't going to talk about Robbie. I was going to talk about the 4 o'clock kickoff, and you know the World Cup started. At 6 o'clock, you're hankering after another one.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted a second helping.
Totally. It's like you're we've done enough World Cups now that your brain's ready for it. You just sort of slip back into that. But it's not there. I've gone mad. I spent £40 on snacks
for the game. For one game?
Just to sort of stock up the
what
flat.
Did you go for?
All kinds of different things.
He must have gone to Waitrose, surely.
Just Sainsbury's over the
did
road.
Did you do what that man... that's just a bad business.
£40 at Sainsbury's? No, but Waitrose is a bit more expensive.
I thought Sainsbury's is a premium
kinds
brand,
of, all kinds of crisps. Shortbread. I got as far
are
as shortbread.
Up
Quality Street.
Mocking the Scots with a shortbread shout.
Double-deckers, you'll like this, Luke. Yeah. Double-deckers, put them in the freezer.
No, I'm not having it.
No, try it.
Hard.
Try it. Honestly, it is hard. It's worth it. Mate of mine, turn me onto it.
More World Cup snack tips throughout the tournament.
Yeah, DJ, but just quickly, is this to see you for the rest of the tournament?
Or was that just for yesterday? No, I'm not eating £40 worth of snacks.
Oh, but that'll last me 2 days. Yeah. We should have done it. We should have all bought exactly the same amount of snacks and see who lasted the longest.
I'll tell you what,
Robbie Williams, an hour.
Mm. You need to snack away today, because today is a big day.
It is. A lot of football happening today.
But yesterday was a big day as well. We saw Robbie Williams, Ronaldo, and Vladimir Putin.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean,
is that the new series of Big Brother?
Well, it's not Love Island, is it? Although Ronaldo thought it was.
Yeah.
The thing with the opening ceremony, you do sort of think, if Coachella can get Destiny's Child back together, why do we have to put up with that every year?
You should have been Take That Back Together.
Why do we always have to put up with not even D-grid performance, like D-grid names in our performances. I just don't understand.
Are you saying
it.
Robbie Williams is D-grade?
I'm saying...
I know it's not the 90s anymore, but Peter...
To be fair, though, I don't know what the proclivities of pop, which pop music the Russian people like the most.
Like Robbie Williams, mate.
But they were loving it. I mean, the crowd was singing along.
I'm not saying
stuff.
Robbie Williams
did Party Like a Russian a few years ago, that mental song.
Exactly. Did he really?
Which is what got him...
Honestly, I'll never
look it up. I'll play it to you after the show. It's mad.
Why didn't he play that one, Jim?
Because it's not very complimentary.
All right. Back in the
and
USSR.
That was the joke. And I thought it was very brave of him to have... genuinely a brilliant opera singer alongside
yes
Aida Garofalina, isn't it, her name is. She was fantastic.
Something we can definitely all agree on, and Russia got the opening ceremony right in terms of the duration.
Absolutely, yes.
No, you know, creatures coming out of the ground.
I'm torn on
that.
This though, because I think absolutely going forward we should say opening ceremonies for anything,
give it to Robbie,
half an hour max,
and always Williams.
But the Danny Boyle one in London 2012 was amazing.
That's the Olympics
World,
is different.
World Cup 94, I want to be in America, everyone coming out, and then Diana Ross, chain reaction.
You can have all that.
Diana Ross, a global star. Diana Ross,
she was Robbie Williams is a global star.
Robbie Williams is not a global star.
No, he is.
Robbie Williams has not cracked America.
They know him in America.
They don't know him in America. Like
I feel
Diana
we should
Ross.
Move on, but I'm just saying, just because a man is willing to play for free because he's made money elsewhere in the oligarch map, I think we could say that he's probably not worthy of the biggest show on earth. Bigger than the basketball, whatever the basketball people do,
NFL
people.
All right, we'll move on
to
from
big
this.
Show.
We'll move on from this after Peter's answered this question. Who would you have had?
Beyonce.
Yeah. She's busy.
Childish Gambino for crying out. People buy his records today.
The answer you're looking for is Pitbull.
Exactly. It's always Pitbull or Shakira, someone a bit naff.
Are you saying that Pitbull's not global? Right? Because it's all in the name, Mr. Worldwide.
We're obviously going to rapidly move on from this. But I think if you're saying that Robbie Williams isn't a global star, and you're talking about Childish Gambino, to try and sound cool.
I'm just saying that people talk about him now. People talk about him today.
You mean someone
Lamar. Current.
Lamar.
Jay-Z, anyone.
He's playing for France.
Lamar.
What? Lamar's...
What, from Fame Academy? And listen, Aida Garofalina, the opera singer, said that Robbie Williams was a delight to work with and very professional and helpful. And she also said she was supporting England as well as Russia. Admittedly, I heard that on an English radio station. She probably said that to every single country.
And she also said Robbie Williams is indeed, much like Jeff Goldblum, A-list. Okay, now let's move on. Right, there was a match after all those shenanigans. Mm. And it was a great start for the Russians.
Wasn't it?
We were a little bit concerned. Saudi Arabia 3 places ahead of them in the rankings. They won't be after this tournament.
I thought that Saudi Arabia had the Russians, to be honest. I thought they were going to win that match.
Yeah.
Did you? Oh, but then I did not see that defensive display coming. lots of square bars across the box, aren't there?
Saudi Arabia, physically...
They looked awful.
Looked absolutely miles away.
Yeah, they did.
Miles off it. I don't know, because if you take,
skinny,
into, if you take into account that Russia haven't played competitive football for a long time... Now I understand they've got the crowd behind them and they're up for it and they're confident and it's a big moment for them. Mm-hmm. So and they really did harness that. I mean, they could have wilted under that, but they didn't. But if you take into account that Saudi Arabia had to play quite a lot of games to qualify, you'd think they would have maybe been a little bit more sensible tactically, like thought, you know what, we've got to be tight here and compact and sit deep and just frustrate them, because after 20 minutes, if Russia haven't scored, I know they scored after 12 minutes, but...
A bit nervy.
Yeah, exactly. The occasion might well have got to them. But
the Saudis did have 61% possession of the football.
There was with nothing
and lost five goals.
But the thing is, there was so much talk of that after the game, but they gave the ball away so badly. That's actually quite a bizarre thing to marry up, isn't
Jim,
it?
Jim, you're absolutely right.
I find it odd because they technically didn't look too bad in terms of how they could...
So sloppy.
Yeah, clearly, it wasn't like a technical thing. It was more just like almost like a concentration thing.
Much has been said about, the Champions League is the best tournament in the world, and we're a bit privileged to have that, and we, you know, to watch that type of football. And when it comes to the international stage, the quality is less. Mm. I mean, it really was actually, in terms of quality, the game wasn't great. Mm. However, we had three quality goals. Mm. Well, you could say all five, but certainly three that stood out. But yes, it really did, like, because even Russia at times, their passing wasn't great. Cheryshev's first goal, the ball to him was poor.
It was almost like you felt the chance had been missed because of that pass.
Exactly.
A few times almost.
It really was not great. But of course, it was the biggest win by a host nation in the opening game of World Cup since 1934. Italy beats the US 7-1 in that tournament.
It was a whipping.
And for me, the great thing about the opener was that it was played at a good pace with attacking intent, because... A lot of people, I know it's a sample size of one, and they're the two lowest ranked teams in the tournament. It was a bit of an odd game because the host against Saudi Arabia, I understand that. But a lot of people do say about World Cups these days that it can create negative football, because if you lose your first game, you're in big trouble, really. Mm-hmm. And so almost it's almost sometimes people set out to not to lose it. No one basically wants to start with a defeat, but we didn't see that yesterday. I really hope it's a sign of things to come, because the last World Cup had a lot more goals in it than the one before, I think.
Yeah.
So if that's a trend, that would be absolutely fantastic.
2010 was very different.
The last World Cup was the joint highest amount of goals scored ever in a World Cup, with I think France 98.
Okay.
So it'd be great if that can be smashed. We're onto a good start.
We're onto it, aren't we?
Yeah. I wonder though, like it looks like, If you're going to praise Russia, it looks like obviously they're actually quite clinical when they needed to be. But I think three of those goals, goalkeeper's got to be doing way better.
For sure.
The last one in particular. I mean,
he barely
stretched his arms.
Well, it was like an outfield player in goal.
But it was right in the corner on the wall side, though.
It was. I know what you mean, Jim, but I mean,
he didn't make the shape of a goalkeeper, didn't he?
You're absolutely right. I mean, but for Russia, though, it'd be interesting to see what they do next. They're up against Egypt, of course. Mm. And at the time of recording, you know, we haven't seen Egypt play Uruguay. But they've got some players in there. Great shame for Dzagoyev, who looks like his tournament's over now. That is a shame. But Denis Cheryshev came in, scored two great goals. I mean, the second is an early contender for goal of the tournament, it's for crying out loud.
Confidence on him to do that, especially coming off the bench. Cheryshev, do you remember, was the player that Rafa Benitez brought on in the Copa del Rey? When he hadn't been registered.
That's right.
And I didn't realise that.
Ended up.
A lot was made of Golovin, Jonathan Wilson.
Scoring the free kick.
Yeah, but he also played very well.
He was given the man a match by BBC.
But a lot was made of him. I mean, when we had Jonathan Wilson on the continent, he was saying that, you know, this Russia team aren't great and that defensive players are quite old, but Golovin at 22 looks like he might be a real player. He could be their next star. And very early to say, but based on that performance yesterday, this could be a breakthrough tournament for him.
Well, I wonder now that they've got the confidence. You know, if it goes down to goal difference, I forget if it's head-to-head or goal difference.
It's goal difference first, then goal scored, then head-to-head.
There you go. So they've given themselves a big old chance here. If actually, you know, Russia, if they can grow into this group, you know, it wouldn't be... Well, it's not outrageous to think they could get to the second round, you know.
It's
which
fantastic
is,
with the tournament.
It is completely. But the reason why, obviously, that is a big thing, is because people in Russia were nervous about this. They hadn't won in seven games going into the tournament. So for that to happen is wonderful. And for big Stanislav, the manager, receiving a phone call from Putin in the post-match presser to say congrats and to keep the team playing like that is wonderful.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a threat or
bit
an encouragement.
Of pressure. Bit of
pressure. That's great. 5-0 next game, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah,
I want more goals next game.
Do you think Theresa May will be doing that? I'm just bringing up Gareth Southgate.
Pete, you know you said earlier that Saudi Arabia were poor, which I agree with. Is it fair to say, though, that Russia would have had a lot of pressure on them, wouldn't they?
Mm.
And they could have wilted under that. It could have been like a drab 0-0 with a few chances, and they just couldn't put it in the back of the net.
I think the pace didn't play into either team's hands at the start. I think we were all surprised about how quickly that kind of whipped along. But I think Saudi Arabia just didn't put them in under any pressure in the final third. So the Russian admittedly poor defence and poor shape at the back, I think. Nobody took advantage of that.
What do you think of the shape of Cherchesov's moustache?
A lot of it's been made, hasn't it?
Yeah, there's a bit of talk in Russia about that. People that I think maybe are trying to grow them. It was some
Russian newspaper encouraged people. Or no, it was a Russian TV host who encouraged people to start growing one like him.
Yeah, I think he
could. Because Tildo was telling us about this yesterday. Tildo was on some rare form.
he was
the man is like, you know, he's gone from... I wrote in the Football Ramble book, which is still available now. Plenty of copies available wherever you go.
And I interviewed Tilsey for a Ramble special as well.
Yeah, but I said, and you said, and I've worked with him. He's a nice chap,
lovely chap.
I said in the Football Ramble book that the best commentators are like, they feel like they're away from the studio, out in some sort of colonial outpost where they've got a bit of freedom to do whatever they want. They're their own boss,
but they don't abuse it.
Well, he has done though.
Yeah,
and Tilsey's gone full.
Basher Davis would
do
that.
Tilsey's gone full Colonel Kurtz here. He's talking about oil deals in the commentary box.
Yeah.
He started off the game by saying, you got the time wrong, first of all. Then he said, oh, we could have been in Madrid, but we're not, we're here. It's all right. That decision was made ages ago. Yeah. Get over it. Yeah, well, I love Madrid. It's a great city.
And Moscow's a great city.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, didn't he say at the end, well, we know he's going to take credit for that? I don't think Vladimir Putin's going to be sort of riding around going, oh, I just won a football match. Yeah.
There was a lot of that, wasn't there? Even on the BBC, to be honest, we sort of always think, really? Yeah.
Like, I think there'll be a fair old whack of that when Egypt play as well.
Yeah. I think, do you know what I think? We were talking about this yesterday.
It was just getting out of the way.
Yeah.
First game.
I feel that you're right, and it was a little bit cringe, but I was thinking to myself about, you know, obviously the US have been announced they're going to co-host in 2026, isn't it? If anyone who thinks that ITV aren't going to start that broadcast with a "Howdy, y'all," is talking shit. Because
firing guns into the roof of the studio. Yeah.
But we could do without someone saying Stalin had a proper tash.
Yeah, well,
I mean, that's
quite
a bit much, bit on the nose, isn't it?
I was going to say you're absolutely right.
But it was nice to see Mark Clattenburg involved.
I've had a problem. I've got a problem here because I found.
You liked his voice.
I found Clattenburg quite endearing.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to think.
Yeah.
Peter? Nice soft voice, nice manner about him, very softly spoken. Seemed quite nervous, which was endearing.
From the northeast of England, Peter.
That's why he's on top of this game, that's why.
Did you find some sort of kinship there?
What, in
with
a
northeast
gigantic,
accent?
Sexy ref? No.
That's a proper accent, though, that accent, isn't
that's
it?
A proper one, yeah. Not like my bastardisation of it.
I find it quite difficult, I'll be honest, to tell between a... For example, a Newcastle accent and a Sunderland accent.
Ooh.
But when I hear Pete and I hear Mark Clattenburg, I can hear that they're vastly different. But maybe because yours is softened slightly because you've been in London for so long. But anyway, on that insight, Russia are now 40-1 to win the tournament in their own backyard. £10 with Bet365 will return £410, including stake, should they go all the way.
Yeah, it's hard to make... Too much. It's hard to think how Russia will approach the games against Egypt and Uruguay on the basis of that, because I mean it was there on a plate for them, but they took it. You know, can't argue with that.
You've got to finish the job.
Exactly. Mm. A couple of nice headed goals as well.
I wonder if one thing I was thinking about after the game yesterday was that I wonder if other teams like Iran and Panama and one or two others, the lowlier of the teams, will look at that and go, "God, we've got to be compact here." They probably have been working on shape and all that kind of stuff anyway. But they might be even more keen to double down on that now, just because Saudi Arabia left themselves so open on one hand, but on the other hand, didn't even muster a shot on target. And it's almost like a perfect combination of shittery that no other team can really afford to do.
I think they probably thought, it's going to be a bigger World Cup next time. We don't need to worry.
Yeah, we'll be there.
We'll be there anyway.
I mean, looking at the quality of Saudi Arabia there, that will be an issue, won't it?
Like, Jim, what do you think went through Luis Suarez and Edison Cavani's heads when they saw that Saudi Arabian defence?
I imagine
happy
still
birthday
giggling.
To you.
just rolling around on the floor, tickling each other with glee.
With a steak.
why not?
Let's get drunk. Yeah. This is going to be easy.
Like, if Egypt are already in a position where they think, they could go on and sort of do, like, get out of the group, they're probably thinking, rest Mo Salah for that match. They don't really need
Based on what we've seen, the Egypt Russia game now just becomes massive.
If
it goes as we expect, that's a winner take all game.
Will Egypt's captain, the 45 year old keeper Essam El Hadary, play? He probably won't play, but 45, that's great, isn't it?
It's fantastic. Will he play? He probably won't play. You've answered the question there.
Yeah, but he's
what
he
a
is,
story it is.
Just do
captain.
The podcast yourself, mate.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm saying, do the podcast yourself.
Well, what are you saying, Pete? What are you saying?
I'm saying I want to go home.
Lots of fans in Russia now, Peter.
There are, yes.
Lots of fans in
Peruvians.
Russia. Apparently the Peruvians have made a big impression on the city of Moscow. Roughly 35,000 of them travelling there. I did quite enjoy Juan Quinones, he was a former player in Peru. He said, "We are a very poor country, so I'm not sure how all these people can afford to come here, but everyone feels that they need to be here."
I love that.
And I love that. I don't know the finances of these 35,000 Peruvians, obviously, but I love the fact that lots of them just went, "Well, we've got to be there."
There's a huge Peruvian diaspora in particularly Spain and Italy as well.
There is,
may have travelled from Europe. But going back to the Egyptian goalkeeper, El Hadary, Jim, following up with Jim's amazing piece of trivia earlier, El Hadary was made his debut, I think, before three of the other squad members were born.
Wow.
Nice. That is classic.
That's great.
He made his debut before Ramadan Sobhi, who we all know who plays for Huddersfield now, was even born.
Yeah.
In fact, I think it was 4 years before he was born as well.
Gary Cahill had his first pint before Marcus Rashford.
You're making it up. It's true. It could be true, though.
You didn't let me finish.
Do you mean on the way out there? Just in the airport.
You go, go on, get me, lads.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
When Marcus Rashford turned up, Gary Cahill almost certainly said, "I've already had my first pint. Where have you been?"
Exactly. Nothing wrong with that, is there? Right, we may well mention England in the second half of this ramble after this.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
And Lampard was closing in there in the six-yard box. It's come out to Joe Cole. There's the volley. Oh, it's a terrific goal for England. And Joe Cole has scored it.
Ah, oh, the memories. Mm. The memories live on. Welcome back to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we all get to see Harvey Renard at the World Cup.
Yeah, I like Morocco as well.
I like Renard.
I love your Mills and Boone style audio book introduction for that.
Harvey!
The only reason Marcus is listening or watching the World Cup.
What are you going to do when they get knocked out?
Yeah.
Well, it could be in the middle of July.
I doubt it.
It's good to see that you're mentally prepared for the event.
When the tournament ends, does technically the winner get knocked out?
Yeah,
the tournament has ended. Mm.
No, I would like to push for an administration point where they technically are the only team left in that World Cup until the next one starts.
Well, it used to be the case, because they used to qualify the winner, didn't they?
Yes, right. Yeah. Mm.
The winner doesn't qualify automatically
because they voted it down. That's because they said they. Teams want England. I don't think England mattered.
But
I think they said they were fed up of not being able to play competitive football.
They asked Germany and Brazil, and they said, "Yeah,
we'll talk about amongst ourselves." But I like Morocco. I think they're a settled side. I think they can surprise a few people. I rate the manager aesthetically as well as tactically, of course.
Yep.
And with what's happening with Spain, particularly, I'm not suggesting that Spain will just crash out, but and it is a big but. 2014, they crashed out. It was a tough group, but they went out in the group stage, Spain. Mm-hmm. So it's not absolutely out of the question that they could come up against a tough Moroccan side with a manager who's got good tournament experience.
Very good tournament experience, Jimmy. He's won two tournaments before with different sides. He knows how to... Morocco hadn't qualified since 1998, of course, for the World Cup. You know, and Renard's come in there and done the job. Which is quite wonderful. And Renard, there was obviously some stuff written about him, and I quite like this, because obviously his success in football has been on the continent of Africa. Mm. He didn't do very well when he managed... Was it Lille he got sacked from after about 13 games in France, and then Sochaux
yeah.
He got Cambridge relegated, United. I think.
There was an interesting piece on the Sky Sports website about him and Claude Leroy at Cambridge,
that's right, yeah.
Saying that everyone they had a lot of interviews with a lot of players from the time and the infrastructure. They're saying, look,
highly rated.
He was brilliant, but there was just no one here who could really get on the same level as him. Right, his ideas, and the players didn't couldn't make it work. But his professionalism, he said, they said, was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and then and The Guardian also did a piece about that as well. And they said that that Renard has brought a kind of intensity and a togetherness to Morocco. But with regards to him being or managing in Africa, he said, in Africa, I feel free. This continent has brought me exceptional recognition. I don't think I can live anywhere else. And I love that. Aww. When a manager falls in love with, well, a whole continent like that, but he's operated extremely well. Zambia, of course, unfancied for the Africa Cup of Nations. And then Ivory Coast, who had that great side and never quite got over the winning line. And he got them there, you know. So I honestly think it will be quite fascinating. And there's no sort of real group of death at the tournament. But if you could argue, you could maybe say Group B with Spain, Portugal, Iran and Morocco. Yeah. I think that... Yeah.
Well, just because also an added factor into that is, and we'll find out what happens tonight, of course, I'm bloody excited for that, but does Portugal v Spain play each other first? So the team that loses there, if there is a loser, they're up against it.
Yes.
And Morocco will be a tough game. Morocco are 3-1 to get out of what admittedly looks like a tough group. But with everything going on over in the Spain camp, you do never know. £10 with Bet365 returns £40, including stake.
Yeah, absolutely right. Carlos Queiroz, one of Sir Alex Ferguson's children. He's the manager of Iran. He's angry with Nike. He's angry with Nike.
Doesn't feel like an argument he's going to win.
Well, it's a wider context, which will certainly back up your argument there, Jim. Due to the sanctions that the Donald Trump has reimposed on Iran, Nike have said they can't supply the team with football boots for the World Cup. And Kira says it's ridiculous and unnecessary.
Yeah.
Well,
FIFA will be upset because it shouldn't interfere.
Yes.
Government shouldn't interfere. I don't know if this counts. But Queiroz, obviously, he used to manage Portugal as well. Didn't he leave Man United because he got the Portugal
Real Madrid
job?
I think it was Madrid, yeah.
Okay, but he has managed Portugal for sure.
He has. Mm. Yeah, he's become a bit of a journeyman, has he, maybe? Or maybe not, I don't know. Let's not be too harsh on Carlos, but he's at the Cup.
He is at the Cup.
He is at the World Cup.
I loved, I'm not sure if we mentioned this on Wednesday, but I loved Pete C, Saudi Arabian manager. Didn't make it with Chile, couldn't get him to qualify. Don't worry about it, lads, I'm fine. Straight into Saudi Arabia.
Well, the Saudi Arabia, they had...
And then embarrassed himself.
But Van Marwijk. The Dutch coach.
And now he's Australia.
And he didn't. They said you must live in Saudi Arabia, and he was like, oh, "Sod that for a game of soldiers." So they got rid. He fell out with them, got rid of them, and so he found a ship that was leaving the harbour in the form of Australia.
Lovely old job.
So yeah, this is the managerial merry-go-round exists at the World Cup. But Portugal versus Spain this evening. Yes, come on.
Spain are 11-10 to beat Portugal tonight with Bet365. £10 returns, £21 including stake, should they do it with all this stuff going on. But we heard from Andy on The Constant this week, and he's inside the Portugal camp.
That's right.
And he said that they're a very tight-knit bunch and that they're in their bubble and they look far better prepared this time around than they did in 2014, when I think they were the last team to arrive in the tournament. Of course, went out in the group stage.
That's right, yeah.
And he said it's not like that this time.
The European champions, he said, feel pretty confident and comfortable.
But if they smell blood, do you think they'll go after Spain?
Well, see, I wonder about how this will affect Cristiano Ronaldo, because is he going to try and, you know, get a big win for his new manager at home? Would that have affected him if he was in the dugout as well?
Well, Jim, are you looking forward to Ronaldo coming up against Sergio Ramos?
Oh, yes.
I didn't think about that. By the way, Ramos, talking of, you know, when we mention England sometimes and Raheem Sterling affected by the media coverage and whatnot in a previous tournament and so on and so forth, it's understandable. I absolutely love, in a weird way, Sergio Ramos, like how he just doesn't give a shiny shite about anything. Because he, you know, the stick that he's got from the whole nation of Egypt is unbelievable. There's a lawyer in Egypt who's filed a lawsuit against Ramos for the equivalent of £874 million for causing Egyptians physical and psychological harm because of that talent.
I'm going to use the word spurious. Yeah.
And it's a lawyer himself who's actually filed that.
That's right, yeah.
Unbelievable.
I'll tell you what is...
he's going to defend himself, of course.
I'll tell you what is unbelievable is Real Madrid having a press conference yesterday.
Oh, that was...
It looks Lopetegui. So B-jams, doesn't it? It looked fantastic.
Yeah. Lopetegui was crying.
Yeah.
He was crying in the press conference.
But I do kind of feel sorry... Well, of course I feel sorry for him, but, you know, it isn't sort of now and never in that situation. You either take that job or you don't. He probably wasn't the first choice and you needed to take that, but... You know, I think the Spanish FA have kind of lost the plot a little
bit. But
Pete,
the Spanish FA, to be fair to them, and I think I still maintain surely there's some sort of PR-able way of getting out of this for everyone concerned. But Luis Rubiales, the Spanish FA head honcho, if you like, said that And he found out the news 5 minutes before they were going to announce it to the press.
That is
but
poor.
He's like, he,
so they had no time to formulate any sort of
right,
response.
Okay.
He's the fourth head of the Spanish FA in about 2 years as well, isn't he? So he's, they are really trying to get their ducks in a row.
Like, they have a
lovely
they've time.
Been all over the place. And he's just like, I cannot believe this.
Amazing.
Like, it's still a very, very rash decision, I think.
Well, we'll be back. We'll obviously have a ramble tomorrow to go over that game that happens tonight to see what, if it affected the Spanish or not.
Nice to see Fernando Hierro, though. Back at the World Cup.
He sort of did a bit of a Southgate, didn't he? He said, oh, I'm not, you know, I've got no interest in being the coach.
I think that was a few days ago, though. Like, before all this, just it happened to be.
Yeah.
Well, I think because of England's great example, other nations will follow, being inspired by us, I think. Hierro means iron in Spanish, which is delightful. Something that I never knew. Fernando Iron.
Good. Nice.
He also reminds me of the guitarist.
New West Ham coach.
The name of the guitarist from My Chemical Romance. It's called, I think, Tommy Hierro.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Do you know,
we need an Hierro.
Should they have done the opening ceremony, should they?
Yeah.
Bigger global act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be checking record sales all afternoon. As with our listeners, Pete, so look forward to that.
My Romance, are they bigger than Robbie Williams? That's a strange question.
Yeah, yeah, they're not.
do you know what Coque's name is?
No.
Jorge Resurrection. If you're called George Resurrection, why have a nickname?
Yeah, there's no point, is there?
That's true.
Pete, did you see, before we move on to whatever nonsense is coming up next, Marcus, with great respect to you, Pete, did you see the Instagram post with Alan Shearer and Nobby Solano?
I did, yes. It was some fantastic examples of South American and European manspreading in the interview. It was like Basic Instinct. It was incredible in the interview.
Any Nobby Solano-related ambitions for this tournament for you, Pete?
Well, it's just nice to see him in the dugout.
Yeah.
Can't wait to get them started. Peru's a bit... I'm a bit hot for Peru, so I'm hoping they're going to go...
You're far too conservative with your answer there.
Yeah.
Surely you want him leading the trumpet chant. You know,
the famous
chant.
Peruvian trumpet chant.
Well, you'll see it
Come
when
on,
it happens.
Peru! Win a game, crew!
You'll see him leading the march with his trumpet. That's what you want.
I want him phoning up like the current member, the current Newcastle boss, Rafa, and playing the trumpet down the phone to him.
Right.
So to do a
playing
option.
Like a free jazz type song. Which did you like that song, Rafa? Yeah, that song is just a little number I put together. And it's called Would You Like Me to Be Your Assistant Manager? And then just hang up.
He's got a restaurant in Newcastle, hasn't he?
No, there's a restaurant called Nobby's. I don't think that's owned by him.
No, there's a Peruvian restaurant. I thought it was called...
It's called Nobby's, but I mean, they might just like Nobby Sonar. I don't know what it's owned
Sounds
by.
Sounds like
him.
A marketing ploy.
Oh, yeah. I see. They fooled... Well, they didn't fool me.
They literally fooled you.
Why not? Because I never went in.
Well, you're still on a fairly popular podcast.
Fairly popular.
You're more popular about your nonsense like dancing.
That is very true. Speaking of nonsense, let's talk about England. Big talk coming from the media in the England camp that Southgate will start with Henderson instead of Dyer and Ali and Lingard in midfield, with Maguire at the back with Stones and Walker, Trippier and Young on the flanks. That is the chat, gentlemen.
It's
coming from
chat.
It is positive chat.
Yes, yeah, so I was on the radio last weekend, and one of the newspapers on that Saturday, I think it was, released what they were calling the leaked England lineup for the first game. And the guy who wrote the story came on the show.
Was it Matt Letizia's brother?
No, it wasn't.
I don't remember that.
That is an obscure shout. And he came on and said, oh, yeah, they're confident of it or anything. And I think, as far as I can make out, it was the same as been said now. So they must have had a good guess with a view to say, oh, in 5 days' time, it's going to be so much new news come out, no one's going to remember.
Yeah, true.
Or they genuinely did have a source. But
they were saying about this, that the bibs that were handed out, you know, basically, if you're on Harry Kane's team, then you're in luck.
Reading the room.
Can I go with Kane? Give us a bib. You're not having a bib.
Yeah. Would those players have a bib for you, Marcus?
Yeah, I think they would. I think England have. I think go on the front foot, and I think if Henderson's playing in that pivot role, then that shows his intention, because he's more of a kind of forward thinking player than Eric Dyer, perhaps.
I agree with that. I think
Jesse Lingard in the midfield, that's an interesting one for me. He clearly wants him to join in. Well, and Ali as well would join in with attacks with Sterling and Kane, because if you go for, say, Dyer and then Henderson in front of him, which could be used when England are in the semis or something.
Yeah.
You're effectively going, come at us, bros.
Yeah, exactly. No, clearly, if England were playing against better opposition, then he may deploy something like that. Yeah. But I think with Ali and Lingard in there, it looks quite attacking.
It's what Kane was saying the other day, wasn't it, about being on the front foot and being aggressive and positive, and that lineup certainly reflects that. So.
Could come back to bite us in the arse. Don't get me wrong, Jim.
Oh, it will.
Yeah. It's a team I possibly would have picked Rose.
I think Young for me. Great delivery on him.
Yeah, but I think Rose, because he's left-footed. gives you a bit more of a natural sort of...
England's left-sided problems back. Is that what you're saying?
Where's Steve Froggatt? Get him on the phone.
I thought Rhodes was very good against Costa Rica as well.
Exactly. And I thought that there's a chance, I don't really have a hugely strong opinion either way here, but I thought there was a chance that Cahill might have forced his way in after that
game. Maguire was the surprise for me, actually, with what Cahill has done. But again...
Because otherwise you've got a back three there of a guy who doesn't regularly play there. Stones, who is still...
Didn't play that much towards the end of the season.
Exactly, and is still learning a bit as well. And Maguire, who is also quite inexperienced at international level. I thought Southgate might fancy a little bit of experience in there, but clearly not. And against Tunisia, they should win.
Well, guaranteed, if we let in one goal against Tunisia that's not great on the defence, they'll be calling for an older head, Cahill.
You will, Donny.
I won't, I don't care.
There we go.
Oh, yeah. There we are, back to the not caring.
Do you remember what I'm like in World Cups?
I wonder...
or around football.
Yeah, I just hoped for more.
Marcus, if England gets to the semi-final, I'm banning him. Yeah. You can't get on the bandwagon now.
If England won the World Cup, right,
care about England's performance, so let's make that very clear. The minutiae can do one at this point in the conversation.
You would say, we're not going to win it next time, are we?
Yeah, he would. And I went in my last job. I had to sit through my colleagues saying they didn't care about England over and over again for years.
Yeah.
And now, they've come. Oi,
come round, have they?
The little slugs have come crawling back. Haven't they? Come crawling back. Want to do WhatsApp groups and all sorts. They do. Pathetic.
All right. Well, before we start settling old scores, let's finish the show. Okay.
Well, no, let's settle old scores now. Yeah. Let's do it now.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. Today is a big day. I mean, today really is for me when the tournament starts.
Yeah. There's still so much to see. We haven't even seen the BBC studio yet.
No, exactly.
Well, you did on the preview, did you not? I actually didn't watch it.
But not in a match setting. But
The TV one was a bit weird, wasn't it?
What's the little bloke with the stary gnome creature thing?
Martin Hoogash. How dare you?
There's like a hologram of a guy.
Slavenbilic?
To the left of the screen.
Right. They've done full CGI kind of like augmented reality kind of jobs on the whole thing to make it look like a church or something.
Yeah, that's a sort of grown-up's way of
you're
saying.
Saying
my little dumb thing's looking at me. Turn the channel off, Sheila.
The TV's alive.
There's a box of moving pictures.
Don't talk, it's listening.
The Russians are actually tapping us.
With all that stuff that ITV are doing, I'm put in mind of the great Dr. Ian Malcolm, who said, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm paraphrasing it.
Was it not Goldblum's character? Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
That's his character.
Yeah, exactly.
In films,
to me, he's just Jeff Goldblum. Yeah. They just happened to be filming at the time.
Would it be easier if he just called you Jeff? Yeah.
Slaven Bilic has an uncomfortable rant or two in him.
Yeah.
I think, for me, seeing Gary Neville on ITV is like seeing a teacher in the supermarket.
Yeah.
But there's four pundits there. Again, ITV have
your
gone
own
too many.
ITV have gone drunk on power.
Too many.
Well, we can fit four in. Let's have four.
It's great.
But there's been a few moments already where Bilic, who is a good pundit, but he's gone too far.
Fiery.
And the other ones start shuffling around, looking at their fingernails.
Goes around the houses, doesn't he, Bilic? And that's what I like.
But I like the fact that because he's speaking English as a second language, it's not holding him back.
No. And if Ian Wright is potentially telling him to calm down.
But one of the things Ian Wright does, which I like, is he very obviously, if you watch him carefully, he very obviously says certain things and makes certain little aside jokes and then looks at all the crew behind the camera. And
they'll be loving it.
Yeah, and he's
like TFI Friday.
He's like nodding at them. Yeah, it's like the 90s again.
I love it.
funny that Wright has gone over to ITV for the tournament.
He's a floater, mate. He does whatever, very shrewd.
Yeah, top man. Lovely man, good bear hug on him. Excellent stuff. Right, gentlemen, let's get out of here and watch some football.
Yes.
Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye, Luke Moore.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Good football.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from me, and goodbye from London. London, goodbye. London, Russia, yes, there's true joy. London, goodbye. London, Russia, Parada.
Sounds like Sieg Sputnik.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.